We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Jeff Erickson here. As always, our podcast is sponsored by Dynasty Owner. We thank them for their sponsorship. My co-host slash guest today is none other than the fantasy exec himself. That is Corey Parson. You can follow him on Twitter. You can read him on SI. Corey, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. I'm definitely glad to be talking to you and getting ready for this upcoming fantasy football season. You know, it's funny. I read a story in the Washington Post about how people are not as enthusiastic about fantasy football this right. year as they have been years in the past. And I have been seeing that also. So hopefully, you know, I listen, I understand we're in some crazy times, but hopefully we can start getting ready for fantasy football soon.
Yeah, I have some theories on that. I think that, you know, we didn't have the Hall of Fame game. We don't have any preseason games. We don't have those little reminders like, hey, I need to schedule my draft. Plus, you got NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, baseball, and like a month into baseball. You know, our whole rhythm is off right now.
Yes.
So I think it'll pick up.
Yeah, I hope so, too, because I think the lack of a preseason could play a role in that. I think when you see the preseason and you get the guys on the field and the pads get to popping, I think that helps it out a little bit. So I do think we'll see a boom. The boom that we normally get in August, I think we'll see it in September.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I hope so. I really hope so. I know I need it. I know you and I mean, we work in this industry. We're self-interested a little bit. Community. I always say industry, but I'm trying to say community more because it's people playing the games, too. It's not just us providing information. It's just we're all kind of trying to, you know, build this sense up, get more people to play. And it affects us a lot when there are no games and all that.
Yeah, no, and the thing about it is, you know, you think of all the players that are throughout the course of the years, you know, the rookies especially, who when they get that first carry and they bust a 40-yard run or something like that, you think of Ezekiel Elliott's first game when he went and played the Seahawks and he caught a couple passes and had a couple big runs. Like, that helps get people ready for it. Not having that this year, I think, you know, is causing some people to be like, okay, well, you know, not as much into it. Then you got the pandemic and everything else is going on. But listen, I'm ready for fantasy football. I know all of my leagues are rolling. You know, I like to do a lot of auctions. So I've already done a couple of those already. So
nice.
I'm having fun with it as always. But I'm definitely ready for the season to start so we can really get into it.
What's your favorite way to play? Is it auction?
Yeah, it's auction right now. Auction is my favorite way to play right now. I'm to the point where I'm doing more drafts than auctions. I mean, more auctions than drafts.
Cool. That's awesome. And I know you did the flex auctions because I co-host with Jim Coventry, and you were the going twice guy, apparently, that you were swooping in and busting people's dreams.
Listen, I've been doing that for a while now. That's a, you know, I do a lot of the hosting for the, the auctioneer work for the NFBC, the NFFC when they're up here in New York.
Right.
And basically, and I learned this stuff from you guys, really, to be honest with you. And, you know, being in that room, seeing you guys do tout wars all of those years, I always thought to myself, wow, I really want to be an auctioneer. And that's something to aspire to be. But I thank you guys for that because you do a wonderful job at that. And then watching how y'all do it. And I always got a kick out of the going twice guys. Mm-hmm. So that's the Lenny Melnick crew right there.
Right. That's right. I love doing it. You know, and I love auctions. I love being the auctioneer. I try to keep a quick pace, especially with tout, because, you know, hey, we're all experts here, right? You know, we don't have to look up who's this guy. No, we all know. And same with football. And football, it should be easier. There's fewer guys to know, fewer guys to roster, so it should be easier. But here we are. A lot of stuff going on. You know, for a long time, we were worried about, okay, there's no news. Well, we got news now. It's coming out of our ears. Big thing today was David Montgomery. Came down with a groin injury. At first it was non-contact, and then I saw the video of it. I was like, oh, this isn't good. But it's a groin injury, apparently, and it's not as serious as his first thought. He did kind of hop off and then get carted to the locker room, but at least it's not a knee. Still, any muscle injury like this, I get worried with these running backs.
No, I think we're going to see a lot of soft tissue injuries this year.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, with the lack of work, I think we're going to see some bad football throughout the first 3 weeks of the season. But you normally see that every year. But listen, when I saw the news, my thing was he wasn't on my board anyway. And I hear people talking about, you know, drafting Cordarrelle Patterson to be their running back. And I'm like, if it's not Tariq Cohen in a best ball league, I really want no parts of the Bears offense. I do like Allen Robinson. I just don't like the quarterback situation there.
Yeah.
I think MVP Mitch is horrible.
MVP Mitch, I haven't heard that. That's good.
Well, you know, last year in the sports books, he was one of the betting favorites for MVP. Like a lot of the money in sports books last year for MVP was on Mitch Trubisky, which I found that to be wild because he stunk. They bring in Foles this year for throw the football to the running back, so that works for Cohen. And I think it also helps, you know, Allen Robinson. If I get him in the right round as a WR2, I'm cool with it. But it's just the offense I try to avoid, to be honest with you.
I get Allen Robinson in the third, you know, as like wide receiver 10. I like him. He's going to be a total target hog. And he did it last year with last year's lousy quarterbacking. So I figure, you know, Foles has got to be better than Mitch and whatever else they had behind him last year. I kind of figure that. It can't be as, you know, the floor has been established and he's still produced. So that's the way I kind of look at it. He's so good. Just give him a real QB once in his career. Is that so much to ask?
I mean, once. I mean, those days in Jacksonville, listen, those garbage time numbers were great, but he had that one season in Jacksonville and I was on him that year too. Mm-hmm. Man, he really popped. He's a very good wide receiver, but he's been with bad quarterbacks for so long. It reminds me of Andre Johnson.
Even in college, Christian Hackenberg. I mean,
right.
Second round pick, Christian Hackenberg. Jets.
That was a bad one right there for the Jet fans.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of those you knew going in that it's like, oh, this probably is not going to end well.
But what I like about him is he's a competitor. He gets out there, he runs excellent routes. I think he's very good.
Yeah, I agree. If you've been looking for a new challenge, consider playing Dynasty Owner Fantasy Football this season. Dynasty Owner Fantasy Football unites the fun and excitement of fantasy football with the skill and strategy of the front office. Dynasty Owner is the only way to play fantasy football with real NFL salaries. Adding the strategy of running an NFL franchise, Dynasty Owner provides a unique challenge for diehard fantasy football fanatics. Go to dynastyowner.com/rotowire. Leagues are forming now. That's dynastyowner.com/rotowire. We've all been in a league where the winner just got lucky. If you're like me and know you're better than the most, Dynasty Owner gives you the platform to prove it. Dynasty Owner favors skilled players who can manage their roster using real NFL salaries within the salary cap. It adds an entirely new level of strategy. Go to dynastyowner.com/rotowire. Validate your fantasy football skills. That's dynastyowner.com/rotowire. Dynasty Owner, Start your dynasty today. Another one I wanted to talk about, though, Kenyon Drake. This is a guy I wasn't pushing way down. I'm kind of buying into the Kenyon Drake experience last year, but, man, he's already got a walking boot on his foot. And I know they're saying, oh, it's precautionary, but I don't know. I moved him down from on my list. He's at the bottom of that tier, if not at the start of the next tier running backs for me now.
I'm not a real big Kenyon Drake guy, to be honest with you.
Right.
So, right, I think the thing with him was kind of, here's what I feel about it. He has an opportunity, and I think he can make the most of that opportunity. I don't like his talent, so really I'm drafting the opportunity if I take him. But like I said, he's not a guy that I'm really into. I like some of the other running backs, the Miles Sanders, the Austin Ecklers in that role better. But I do see why the love for him is there because of the opportunity that he's going to have in that offense. Like I said, I'm a big fan of Murray this year. I'm a big fan of D-Hop this year. I just don't know how much I'm into to Kenyon Drake, but mainly because of the people around him.
Right. And that's fair. That's fair. And I think that, the offensive line still, we'll see. But I do like some of the other options there. Let's move on. We got a lot of stuff to get to here. Let's hop on talking a little Tyreek Hill. Back on the practice field. Anytime I see hamstring and a speed guy, I hurry a lot. But I like that he's already doing individual drills.
No, I like that too. And he was a guy that I'm on heavily. I think he's a first round draft pick. I got him in my first round on my one man mock draft. I have him as, I believe, pick number 11. So I'm into him. I definitely want to see him healthy. Like, it's so many good pieces in that offense, but what he can do with his touchdown ability is very impressive to me. I like the fact that he could pop the top on the defense better than most receivers in the league right now. So I'm willing to buy up all the Tyreek Hill. I like him a lot. I think he's a top fantasy wide receiver. The catches may not be there as much, but the lifeblood of fantasy football is still scoring touchdowns. And I think he can do that a lot, especially in that offense.
I'd agree with that. I want keys to the castle on that one. As many Kansas City parts as I can get. It's really hard to build a stack unless you have third round reversal. Then you might be able to sneak it in and get Mahomes at 3-1 if you're lucky. But I want to get a couple of those parts if I can. If I don't have to go too crazy in doing so.
I am on the Edwards-Helaire train, and I understand he's going off the board as like pick 6 or pick 7 right now.
Right.
And more or less his NFFC ADP, I think, is warranted. I look at the guy. I look at a running back that is prototypical for Andy Reid's offense. They passed on DeAndre Swift to draft Edwards-Helaire. Andy Reid hawking him to Brian Westbrook. We all know how great Brian Westbrook was for fantasy. We all know how great Andy Reid is for fantasy. So, I can't get enough. I'm willing. Any Kansas City Chief that's on the board is worthy of a spot on my teams.
Right on. I totally agree. One more I want to throw out news item before we start to get into your breakouts and your bus and all that. And that is I want to talk a little Chris Godwin. Missed practice 3 of the last 6 practices. Bruce Arians played this is for me to know and you not to find out game. I mean, what is this, grade school? But, I'm a little worried. My radar is up on this now.
I don't blame you for being worried. I'd be worried on it, too. Listen, he's coming in with a new quarterback, basically the same offense, but I think you have some things that suit and fit Tom Brady a little bit better. Listen, last year this time, people was talking him up, and I was like, I don't know. Well, it turned out to be true. He came through. He played very well. He got the job done. He finished as the top wide receiver, one of the top, I think the top 5, top 2 even maybe. He was excellent last year. And I think he can be excellent again this year. I think the team can be very good. You want to see him healthy. Right now, I'm probably like a little bit of a, have a bit of an itchy trigger finger. But what I'll say is, and I'm sorry if I say that, I'm not trying to, I didn't mean nothing by that.
Right.
But, I feel as if we are in a situation where we kind of got to wait and see right now.
Right. Hopefully your draft isn't today or tomorrow, and you have a little bit of time to react. And maybe it's just something benign. Maybe it's just he's taking care of his health, making sure someone's family's okay. Hopefully it's that and nothing worse, but we'll see. Take your league's fantasy football draft to the next level with FanDraft, the online fantasy football draft board. FanDraft makes your draft feel like the actual NFL draft with features such as streaming ticker, live draft clock, custom logos, team walk-up songs, multiple draft board displays, and more. FanDraft can be used offline for in-person drafts by exporting the display via projector or onto a large screen TV for the league to enjoy. It can also be used fully online, and any number of your league owners can join the draft remotely. You can perform both traditional and auction-style drafts. FanDraft also supports IDPs, rookie-only drafts, keepers, and just about any customization to meet your league requirements. You can sign up for a free trial account at FanDraft.com. When you're ready to order the pro account, make sure to use promo code ROTOPOD15 to save 15% off your purchase. Again, that's FanDraft.com, and use promo code ROTOPOD15 to save 15%. Let's move on, because you do a lot of writing for SI. I was reading preparing for this and reading some of your articles you do, and you don't just do fantasy. You do a lot of gaming stuff for NBA as well as NFL. So make sure to check that all out. But I did check out your breakout, sleeper, bust, comeback, and stash article. Some good stuff there. Let's talk about those guys a little bit, because I'm on Hollywood Brown too. You love Hollywood Brown.
Yeah, I'm a Hollywood Brown guy. I look at the lineage, you know, obviously the relation to the best player to ever lace him up for fantasy purposes, and Antonio Brown, you know, Florida guy down there, played Pop Warner with Lamar Jackson. So that's always there. He came in there last year, not really healthy, dealing with the foot injury. He's fully healthy this year, put on some weight. Listen, that's an offense that scores over 30 points a game, and a guy that can pop the top on a defense like that, I think we're looking at a true breakout right here. I don't know if you're into card trading, something I've gotten into more recently. I'm trying to scoop up all the Marquise Brown, Panini cards that I can. So nice. I'm big, big, big into Hollywood Brown this year. I think he's going to have a big year. He's one of the players. I have one more auction left to do, and I don't have him anywhere yet. So hopefully none of the listeners are in that auction with me. But, he's going to be – he put it like this. I will leave that team with Hollywood Brown.
List stole him from me in a staff league that we're doing, just a slow draft, just by three picks. He's way big on touchdown Terry McLaurin. I am too, but I thought, okay, well, I'll get Hollywood Brown. No, he went Brown first. I'm like, so he got me again, but so it goes. But I love that he put on the weight. Love how he was timing himself as he was adding muscle to make sure it didn't slow him down. But he knew he had to get bigger too to withstand the pounding of the NFL.
No doubt, and I think that's why you'll be able to see him get more targets this year as he does that.
That's right, and they want Lamar not to change his style, but at the same time, maybe run just a little bit less would be nice too, and that means more targets. So
100%.
Hope that comes to fruition. All right, let's talk about a bust. Who's your bust?
It's crazy, it's crazy and it's hypocritical at the same time, but just stay with me, people. My bust is Derrick Henry, because I don't like where he's being drafted. Most of us play in PPR leagues right now. I think PPR has become standard.
Right.
And listen, I understand the 1,500 yards is great and the touchdowns and stuff like that. They decided to bring Tannehill back and decided to run it back again this season. We're still talking about a guy who doesn't catch any footballs out of the backfield. And I don't know if I can trust that kind of running back in the first round. Now, people that know me will say, well, you love Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb is a different running back than Derrick Henry is. You know, Nick Chubb could have been one of the all-time great running backs in college football history. And we've seen Nick Chubb split carries with Todd Gurley and be a 1,000-yard back, and with Sony Michel and be a 1,000-yard back. Tear his knee up and still almost be one of the great backs in college football history. Derrick Henry is not that guy. So I think the talent is different between those two players. So that's why I'm not saying that Henry's going to be a bust, but if you're taking Henry inside your top 10, I really don't like it. I don't like that. I don't think I can do that.
Yeah, I don't either. Standard league, yeah, I'm there for that. That's fine, especially because the schedule's pretty good. But it's one thing in the shortened playoff season, it's Derrick Henry, all the time. There's no preservation, but it's a totally different thing in the regular season. I get it. Chubb, man, he showed that he can catch passes. It's just they have Kareem Hunt, so they prefer not to use him with that. But even when Hunt was back, there were a couple of games where Chubb caught a few passes, looked good. It's just Hunt's so good in his own right there that it makes it tough. But I love Nick Chubb. I'm a huge fan. And, of course, you're drafting Chubb at 12, 13, 14 more often than not, whereas you're taking Henry at 7 or 8.
Exactly. So I think that it's a small difference. But people will get on me, oh, but you love Nick Chubb. And I'm like, yeah, let's not act like Nick Chubb and Derrick Henry are the same backs.
Right, exactly right. Okay, how about your comeback? Don't call it a comeback, but we're going to call it a comeback. Who's your comeback player?
So it's Odell Beckham. And listen, and maybe I'm making excuses for him, but last year, the core muscle, which he kept to himself, Freddie Kitchens, that offensive line, Baker Mayfield, was a bad situation. The previous couple years in the Giants with Eli Manning and the injuries was a bad situation.
Yes.
You get a fully healthy Odell Beckham. You know, Kevin Stefanski is excellent at the run, but we've seen receivers in that system pop too. My thing is, listen, he could be wide receiver one at any moment in the NFL because he has the – you can't really say that there's an NFL wide receiver that has more talent than Odell Beckham.
No, I agree. In fact, I want a lot of Cleveland Browns in my lineup. I want Odell. I want Chubb. I want Mayfield, especially because he's pretty cheap. Now, you can throw in Austin Hooper if you want. I'm not as big on that, because Njoku's still there. But also, I mean, yeah, Landry too. Landry, I know, and he's coming off a major surgery, but he was playing hurt last year too. And that's the thing. They're playing hurt, and now they've got an adult coaching the team instead of Freddie Kitchen's experience. I mean, this should be better. It should be better.
No,
for sure.
I think it should be better too. I'm definitely in for it. I think they're a team that bounces back this year. I think the expectations last year got the best of them. But really, it starts with Mayfield improving, and I think Mayfield can improve.
Yeah, I think so too. And, you know, he showed signs in his rookie year. It's just he's got to mature a little bit. He's got a better offensive line. There's lots of arguments in favor. So 100% agree with you on this one here. We're agreeing a lot too much. It's, you know, you're definitely no list where it's everything I say is criticized. Now I'm actually with you. Well, although he'd be in lockstep with you with OBJ, though, that's for sure.
Yeah, and that's how list is, though.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. But, hey, all I have to do is mention a Cowboy, and then we can go off on disagreement land there for him.
Well,
yeah,
but you know, a big Cowboy guy.
I do.
Let's get those battles all the time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, hey, yeah, talk about stacks. I mean, if you can get the Cowboy stack, do it. The only problem is trying to figure out, do you get all three receivers or not? But, man, CeeDee Lamb is really popping right now.
No, he has been, and I've seen all the reports seem to be pretty good. So I definitely do like that a lot. I'm happy that he dropped the pick number 17. Listen, Dak Prescott has got a lot of weapons. So got a lot of weapons. You got a new head coach. We should not have any excuses this year.
And Dak's playing for a contract. Don't forget that either.
Of course, yep.
Yeah, I think that sometimes matters. Not always, but there's a lot, you know, this is 2 years running with him, so there's a lot of motivation. So we'll see how that one plays out. But he's my number three QB. I think I would take him over Kyler. I'd take him over Russell Wilson just because on volume alone.
I agree with you on that.
Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. If you're looking for a credit card that fits your lifestyle, look no further. U.S. Bank has credit cards that make every day rewarding, no matter what you're into. Feeling hungry? Check out the U.S. Bank Altitude Go Visa Signature Card. Earn 4x points on takeout, food delivery, and dining. And get 2x points at gas stations, grocery stores, and on streaming. That'll keep your wallet and your mouth full. Big spender? The U.S. Bank Visa Platinum Card has a low intro APR for large purchases or balance transfers. And you call the shots with the U.S. Bank Cash Plus Visa Signature Card. Choose two categories each quarter. Earn 5% back on your first $2,000 of eligible purchases from those categories. So don't just get a credit card, get the right card to make every day more rewarding. Cash back, merchandise, travel rewards, and low intro APRs are waiting. Learn more at usbank.com/creditcard. The creditor and issuer of these cards is U.S. Bank National Association, pursuant to a license from Visa USA, Inc., and the cards are available to United States residents only. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
All right. How about, okay, let's get some, let's go deep. I know this is an actual sleeper. We talk all the time about sleepers and busts and... And this, you can be playing enough leagues, you're on Twitter all the time. There's no such thing as a sleeper. This is a sleeper. Who's your sleeper?
Kendrick Bourne.
Actually, you switched on me a little bit.
Oh, which one? Which one is in that article?
Dwayne Haskins. Which yes. I also wanted to hear. Let's talk Bourne first, and then we'll talk Haskins because both these guys are deep. Let's talk Bourne first.
So with Bourne, I will say it's the opportunity. The opportunity meets the talent.
Yep.
And what you have is you got a guy who is going to get opportunities now in an offense that is excellent for wide receivers. Kendrick Bourne is not some stiff that's on the back of the 49ers roster. Kendrick Bourne can really play. Injuries have been a problem. I think he caught 30 passes last year. 5 of them was in the end zone for touchdowns. So we're going to see more opportunities for him. He'll still keep that red zone work. And he very well could be their wide receiver one coming into the season while Deebo Samuel's getting ready. So I'm feeling good about Kendrick Bourne.
Yeah, I get it. Now you've identified Bourne as a sleeper. God, that was terrible. But I agree. I think so. And I'm not touching Debo because I worry about re-injury. I worry about like the history of guys coming back from Jones fractures, coming back too soon. Just scares me a little bit.
What I'm doing with that is with a lot of these commissioners this year are putting these additional IR spots for the like COVID related injuries. Even if it's not COVID, you know, I'll take advantage of that and I'll stash a guy like Debo and Antonio Brown in that IR spot.
Yeah, I haven't done that yet, but if the NFFC did that, I'd be all over it. You know,
no doubt.
And sometimes I wire my brain thinking that way because, you know, baseball and football, I play in that universe, no IL spots, all that. But they are changing one thing. They are doing the Saturday night pickups instead of the Friday night pickups. So they're kind of, you know, kind of helping us out there a little bit.
It may have to go to Sunday morning because we don't know what this is going to be. But so far, the NFL has been pretty good. You know what I mean? You had those 77 false positives the other day and really hasn't been no issue.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. There's all one lab in New Jersey, too.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Hopefully that won't become an issue, but there'll probably be some hiccups here and there. Hopefully it won't be as bad as baseball's hiccups.
Yeah, no, baseball is crazy. Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk a little Dwayne Haskins, too, because I kind of tend to agree with you. I read something the other day, like, he only makes a mistake once and doesn't repeat it. So that's, I like seeing signs like that. I love me some Terry McLaurin. You know, the Washington football team, they've got a guy, have some guys emerge, but I've heard some buzz about Antonio Gibson. I like some Steven Sims. Maybe Antonio Gandy Golden is going to be a guy that emerges there too. Make the case for Haskins, please.
I think you look at the back end of last season. Once they got Jay Gruden was basically trying to sabotage the kid. Mm-hmm. They didn't want him. They didn't want him there. They really had no love for him. And Gruden was trying to do his best to get fired in Washington last year. So he obliged, and we saw Haskins toward the back end of last season start to pick up. Matter of fact, he played his best game of the season in the final game of the year. He was going off until he got injured. And then everything that we've heard about him in this offseason has been good. I had a chance to interview the legendary Doug Williams earlier this year, and they more or less said that the goal for this year is for, you know, everybody's, you know, rooting for Alex Smith, obviously, but the goal for this year is to give Dwayne Haskins that starting job as the as Washington quarterback. Now, with that being said, you talk about the weapons. Well, we already got the relationship with Terry McLaurin, so that's a good thing right there. They did not go get Cam Newton. They did get Kyle Anderson, but listen, the job is his, and I think he has enough to get it done. So I'm not saying you're gonna go into your league and leave with Haskins as your only QB. But what I do think is that, you know, you could put him on your bench, and I think that he can pop. If you're in a two quarterback league, he's a starter in a two quarterback league, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think this year they treat him like the first round pick he was, and give him like the proper support. You know, they had the whole situation with their offensive line too, Trent Williams. I mean, you know, granted they couldn't resolve it, but at least they made the trade that's not hanging over them like the sword of Damocles either.
And the thing about it is, you know, you just see what coaching does. Like, Gruden had issues that were his own issues, and then he purposely drove this kid's career into the ground. That wasn't right.
I agree. And the stuff you hear coming out about Gruden now, that does not sound good. Although it's funny. He's being touted as a positive reason down in Jacksonville, too, which is kind of funny, but we'll see.
That's positive about him.
Yeah, I guess it's positive that he's in Jacksonville and not in D.C., I suppose.
It was funny when I was interviewing Doug Williams and I brought up last year's coaching staff, he actually rolled his eyes.
Oh, not good. Not good at all. So is the job with SI getting you more access? Are you meeting more people to talk to, get in the know?
Well, you know, you get, especially, listen, I do a little bit more than the fantasy and the gambling stuff.
Right.
So, you know, I've been blessed and afforded with that opportunity. So, you know, we have had a chance to speak to some interesting people and interview them. And, you know, he was the one obviously coming up, watching football back in those times, being a fan of the Dallas Cowboys. you know, he was, it was like a gift and a curse. It was like, wow, I was very proud of him and what he was able to do, especially in that Super Bowl. But obviously him beating the Dallas Cowboys as a member of Washington was pretty hurtful. But, you know, his history coming from Grambling State University and stuff like that and rising up through the ranks in the NFL and becoming a personnel person is this, you know, is somebody that I was always look at as a hero.
Yeah. Yeah. Always carried himself with such poise and grace. He was such a leader. Yeah. It's awesome to see that.
Yep. So it was pretty cool. It was one of the highlights of my career.
That's awesome. I love hearing that. I love that. Another thing I wanted to bring up real quick, there's two free agents out there. One, it's been talked about a little bit. Devontae Freeman hasn't signed anywhere yet. I think when the Bears news came up today, like, oh, Devontae Freeman. Same way when Miles Sanders came up with a quote-unquote lower body injury, as if we're talking hockey these days. Exactly. Yeah, but it hasn't happened yet. He hasn't signed anywhere. You know, there's some speculation on the Chiefs when Williams opted out as well. Does he sign anywhere? What's going on with him?
All right, so I know a lot of people in the South Florida football scene. And one of them said to me that Devontae Freeman is from Miami. Mm-hmm. One of them said to me that consider Devontae Freeman a civilian. Now, I was like, oh, that's interesting. At 28, 29 years old, consider him a civilian.
Yeah.
And he's not going to play football no more. Now, when you saw him turn down that Saints deal, the Seahawks deal, I was like, oh, wow, oh boy, wow, he might really be a civilian.
Yeah.
But just recently, in this past week, he started posting highlights of him playing football on Instagram. And his latest Instagram post, he has on his uniform, and he says he's in the trench zone. So I'm like, well, listen to this. Maybe he's starting to get ramped up and warmed up for football activities now. But from what I heard and from what's going on right now outside of what we've seen on social media this week, I would say that I would not be touching Devontae Freeman until I see him sign somewhere. And even when I do, I think, as crazy as this may sound, I think a 29-year-old running back is washed up.
Can be. It certainly can be. I mean, the burden of the proof is on him to show otherwise. That's for sure.
It's that running style. You see it. Yeah. You see it with Warwick Dunn. You've seen it with Dalvin Cook, and you're going to see it with Zach Moss when he comes out. Those South Florida backs run with the intention of hurting you, and that's the only way they know how to play.
Yeah, and that means you get hurt more.
Exactly.
Even Edge was a little bit that way.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So one of the great South Florida running backs.
Yeah, exactly. The other guy, and there's been occasionally his name comes up, but for the life of me, I don't quite understand why it's not getting a chance anymore, is Dez Bryant.
Yeah. I don't understand that. The workout with Baltimore, I figured it would have been a good fit. I mean, I saw somebody talking up Kevin White. And I was like, that stiff, that bump can get tryouts more than Dez Bryant. I didn't understand it. So a lot of people talk about Dez Bryant in the locker room and stuff like that. I'm quite sure Dez Bryant has passed all of that stuff. And then plus there was some issues that people in that Dallas locker room talked about when it came to how Jason Garrett, you know, related to some players. So I think Dez Bryant deserves another opportunity.
Yeah, I do too. Must something happen in that workout that was negative, though, because Baltimore's pretty sharp, and they're also, you know, not afraid to take a chance. So you never know what they see.
That's a very good point.
Yeah. I want to give you more time on this, and I know you got to get out real quick, but I want to give you a chance to speak on the NBA canceling games today, or not the players not playing games. Three baseball games so far, maybe a fourth, MLS. What do you think about that?
Well, what I'll say is this. I thought it was very brave. I thought it was very courageous what the Milwaukee Bucks started and what the NBA players did. Now the Milwaukee Bucks are a team, you know, they represent Milwaukee, the city of Milwaukee and the state of Wisconsin. So them being the ones that set it off and lead it off, I think was the right thing to do. Then the other teams following suit, I thought was very important. I do not think that they should leave the bubble behind this. I don't think that they should cancel the rest of the season because, listen, this is still a sports league. But I can definitely see taking a stand in a time like this when we see these things going on a lot in our society. 2020 has been a hellacious year for us. Started with the death of Kobe Bryant, and then we're in this pandemic, and obviously George Floyd and so much, you know, racial tension going on in this country. You know, the guys get back on the field and on the baseball, you know, the diamonds and the courts and stuff like that, and trying to get out there and make it happen. So, you know, I think that it's respectful to go back out there and continue playing after you do the demonstration. And what I like about these demonstrations are, particularly in the case of the Milwaukee Bucks, these owners of these franchises are very, very wealthy men. And that means they're connected to a lot of politicians.
Right.
And if they can go in there and say, listen, this is BS. We got to figure out a way to get this. You got this straightened out, because I'm losing money. We're losing money. It's obviously affecting the players. It really is affecting the players.
Sure.
Like, these are dudes that want to play sports. That's what they do. And the fact that they in unison stood out like this, I think it shows how much a lot of people are hurting behind this stuff.
Yeah. And straight up, like, there's a direct experience with the Milwaukee Bucks too about this.
Exactly.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I get it. I completely get it. So yeah, it's going to be a continuing, you know, I think we haven't heard the end of this. It's going to be hang on to your seat. It's going to be a very interesting week for sure. Hey, where can people read your stuff? Where can they hear you? Where can they get more, Corey?
Well, we got the SI Fantasy thing popping right now. So you can follow me on the Fantasy. Or you can follow me on Twitter at the Fantasy Exec. Doing a lot of work with the NBA right now as far as handicapping and breaking down those games. And obviously, maybe we start to morph into fantasy football mode as we get into that season and stuff like that. I'm really excited about a podcast myself, Dr. Roto, and Michael Fabiano have right now. Michael Fabiano, obviously, a couple of weeks ago, joining the team over at Sports Illustrated after all those years at the NFL Network. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that podcast is going very well. You can check that out anywhere you find podcasts. And listen, just hope to try to be back on the scene and giving you some great content on the radio side any day. One day, hopefully, but right now that's not in the plans. But the Fantasy Executive is still out there and still hanging on, and the microphone will find me at some time.
Very good. Well, I can't wait for that day, and as soon as it does, we'll let everybody know as well, and we'll have you back on.
Thanks a lot, Jeff.
You bet. The Fantasy Exec, Corey Parson, with us. I want to thank Dynasty Owner for the sponsorship here of the podcast. Hang on for a couple news and notes. A big thanks to Corey Parson, the Fantasy Exec, for joining us today. Before we go on with news and notes, a quick note from our friends at Underdog. Say hello to your new favorite place to play fantasy football for real money, Underdog Fantasy. With Underdog, all you need to do is the fun part, draft. Forget about injuries, trades, waivers, and setting lineups. Just set it, forget it, and wait for the winnings to come in. This year they have a $1 million tournament. That's right, just draft the best team and you have a shot at $1 million in prizes. Sign up for Underdog today and enter the Best Ball Mania for a chance at $1 million in prizes by going to underdogfantasy.com. That's underdogfantasy.com, or searching for Underdog Fantasy in your app store. Be sure to enter the code ROTOWIRE after you make your first deposit. Thanks to Underdog for your sponsorship. Okay, before we get you out of here, a few quick news and notes from Wednesday's news cycle here. First of all, Sony Michel has been activated off the PUP list. He was a full participant in individual and team drills. He pretty much traded reps with Damian Harris with the first team on offense and looked good. Harris has had a lot of buzz in training camp. He looks like he could be a starter, but, you know, it's the Pats. You know, James White's going to get his share. They signed Lamar Miller. Rex Burkhead's still there. It could be just a big mess. And, of course, Sony Michel coming back adds to that confusion. But he is back if you're interested in drafting him there. I haven't been willing to go ahead and take the plunge on him, even with the big discount. Currently, ADP is 105. That's in the last couple of weeks. And dealing with the in the online championship and other contests as well. In fact, I think he's actually lower than that. In the last 2 weeks, as a matter of fact, Sony Michel's ADP is closer to 135. I got to get that right. So, you know, even with that discount, though, I haven't been willing to take him there. A couple other notes. Lev Bell, we didn't get a chance to talk about this one earlier. This is a little bizarre. You know, he stepped out of the scrimmage a little bit earlier in Wednesday morning scrimmage. Adam Gase said it was hamstring tightness. Then later, Bell went on Twitter and said, ain't nothing wrong with my hamstrings. He complained later about his lack of reps in that. And there were early reports that Frank Gore was looking better. Some debate about whether this is just practice talk and all that. I was already a little wary of Lev Bell. And it may not all be him. Some of this might just be that, might just be because of his, because of that offense. His low yards per carry last year scares me away. The asking price is still, ADP is 33. That's still going ahead of Chris Carson, who returned to practice today, going ahead of David Johnson, going ahead of Jonathan Taylor, in many cases right there with Jonathan Taylor, right there with Leonard Fournette. I think I'd take all those over Bell at this point in time. I'm just not there for him. So, in fact, I'm usually taking a wide receiver at that spot. If all goes well, that's my pure preference to go that route. We mentioned Chris Godwin and all that. Stay tuned to see if there's more on that. Paris Campbell, one of my favorite late-round breakouts, a second-year wide receiver, having a good camp, got in a car accident and is now in the concussion protocol. Watch that one, see when he's allowed to return to practice. That might slow things down for him. Michael Pittman's there. Michael Pittman's a big receiver, 6'2". That's something that does worry me. Phil Rivers is not known for hitting his small receivers, likes to dump off to the running back anyhow. They do have T.Y. Hilton. A lot of things that, are making it tough to fight for those targets. I do like Paris Campbell quite a bit, but I might have to pump the brakes a little bit. My effusive praise of him might start to taper off just a little bit. Big one on the defensive side, Nick Bosa, week to week with a muscle strain in his leg. We saw the with and without him comparison last year. It was pretty stark. If he's not ready for week one against the Cardinals, may choose to go ahead and start Kyler Murray, start your Cardinals that you might have that are marginal decisions. I mean, if you draft him, you're probably starting him anyhow, but you might consider him a DFS. You might consider, Christian Kirk as someone that you might start that particular week, or Chase Edmonds, especially if we see Kenyon Drake still being hobbled by that foot injury. So someone also to watch for. We mentioned Chris Carson. He is back. He had to deal with some personal issues, a family matter. He's on the field again. He's supposed to be the top option. Rashad Penny is on the pup list. New Carlos Hyde's been a little banged up. They got Travis Homer and DJ Dallas stacking those Miami running backs, but they're kind of mediocre Miami running backs. I'm not too worried about those guys. Finally, two Cincinnati Bengal notes. Joe Mixon wasn't spotted at practice yet today. Paul Danner Jr. of The Athletic reports that. He was also told earlier in the week that Mixon had a minor injury, unspecified minor injury. So something to watch for. But A.J. Green was back at practice, had the shoulder pads on. Wasn't a full workout for him, but first session since being removed on August 17th with hamstring tightness. Assuming no setbacks, he's back on pace for week one. But, of course, this always lingers. Of course, we've got A.J. Green concerns. I think we've beaten this drum enough. At the same time, I think that it's also reflected some in his draft price. I really don't think he's getting overdrafted. I mean, there was one draft where he went 44, but in the last 2 weeks, his ADP is 72. He's like wide receiver 30, 31, 32. At that cost, I'll take it. I'll take that chance because he's still got a chance to be a number one receiver with a pretty high upside. I'll take Tyler Boyd, too. He's a steady floor guy. I also think I want parts of this Bengals offense. I think it emerges. We'll see what happens with Joe Burrow in year one, but I believe in the talent. I believe in the year two of the coaching staff. I think all these things kind of work in the favor there. That's going to wrap up news and notes for today's podcast. Tune in tomorrow. We've got John McKechnie and Mario Puig at the usual Thursday Fantasy Football Podcast. A whole lot more to talk about then. I want to thank Dynasty Owner for their monthly sponsorship of us and all of our other sponsors. Appreciate you. Please subscribe, rate, and review. It means a lot to us. That you're listening to this also means a lot to us. We appreciate there's a ton of fantasy football podcasts out there. The fact that you choose to listen to us means a lot. I do appreciate it. We appreciate it quite a bit. Of course, if you don't subscribe to RotoWire already, check out RotoWire for the free 10-day trial. RotoWire.com/radio gets you access to most everything on the site. Hopefully you want to subscribe. No credit cards required. Just put in a valid email address. If you don't like it, it'll just expire. There's no opt-out or anything of that nature. So check it out. RotoWire.com/radio. And again, please subscribe, rate, and review to this podcast. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.